Hari Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastama Vidavishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay, page 84. Chapter 22, Enumeration of the Elements of Material Creation. Sri Krishna continued, My dear Uddhava, material bodies are constantly undergoing creation and destruction by the force of time, whose swiftness is imperceivable. But because of the subtle nature of time, no one sees this. The different stages of transformation of all material bodies occur just like those of the flame of a candle, the current of a river, or the fruits of a tree. Although the illumination of a lamp consists of innumerable rays of light undergoing constant creation, transformation, and destruction, a person with illusory intelligence who sees the light for a moment will speak falsely, saying, "This is the light of the lamp." As one observes a flowing river, ever new water passes by and goes far away. Yet a foolish person observing one point in the river falsely states, "This is the water of the river." Similarly, although the material body of a human being is constantly undergoing transformation, those who are simply wasting their lives falsely think and say that each particular stage of the body is the person's real identity. Right, so those are all in the context of. It means the general usage, they'll say, yes, this is the water of the river. But the point is we're not. It's not actually the same water. It's always moving. So then the point is, we'll say, is that whatever stage they're at, this is the person's real identity. And so then they keep changing and transforming. So they're a small child, and they adolescent, then, youth, and then middle age, like this, it just keeps going. But we don't identify that actually, no, the soul is eternal. It has nothing to do with all this. Does that make sense? Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Birth and death, famous everywhere, have been described. How they exist at every moment in a subtle state is now described to instill detachment. At every moment, bodies are born and die, but we do not see a body being born and dying at every moment. End quote. Just as time cannot be seen, creation and destruction created by time are not seen. Right? So the time you can't see because it's swift, and then the situations that it creates of something being created and destroying, we also don't perceive by time. We just think that this is what's happening. Though creation and destruction cannot be seen, they can be inferred by conditions. Examples are given. The candle flame by transformation, the river by movement, and the fruits by form undergo change of state at every moment by the force of time. Similarly, the conditions of age, infancy, boyhood, and youth, and changes of strength, desire, and skill occur in all beings. They are being created and destroyed at every moment, inferred because the change of state from one to another. This can be inferred by the candle flame, which changes at every moment. Right? So you know that it's going on. You can see it in other things also. Can this not be recognized? The flame of the lamp in a moment produces thousands of light rays, which are destroyed the next moment. The stream of water in an instant moves far away. In the next moment, there is more water, and one perceives merely that it is water. Mm-hmm. Similarly, childhood and youth exist in a person, but we do not perceive the change or speak of it. People's lives are permeated with this lack of discrimination. Mm-hmm. They're just going on as if everything is just perfectly normal. when it's not so normal.
This is a manistic note.
Yes. Because we identify the soul with the temporary. Right, so that's what these examples are doing. You're identifying the river with that temporary aspect. So we're identifying the soul with the body and saying that, oh, you know, he's acting like this because he's at this age or this or that, or he has this knowledge, this skill, but it has nothing to do with the soul. So that's the difficulty. Sri Krishna continued, a person does not actually take birth out of the seed of past activities, nor, being immortal, does he die. By illusion, the living being appears to be born and to die, just as fire in connection with firewood appears to begin and then cease to exist. Impregnation, gestation, birth, infancy, childhood, youth, middle age, old age, and death are the nine ages of the body. Although, because at these points, then you're going to make a comment. You know, say, impregnation, then someone's pregnant, then the baby's growing, they'll talk about that, then they're born, then their infancy, then when they grow up a little more, then their childhood, then their youth, then their middle age, old age, you know. You just mentioned this one time. Now the interesting thing is these other seven all took place in 50 years. Mm-hmm. Right? And old age going for another 50 years is just one category. No one wants to talk about it. So it's just these are the times when people are aware. Does that make sense? Although the material body is different from the self because of the ignorance due to material association, one falsely identifies himself with the superior and inferior bodily conditions. Sometimes a fortunate person is able to give up such mental concoction. By the death of one's father or grandfather, one can surmise one's own death, right? Because they were young at one point. You know, you've seen the pictures and this and that. You know, they weren't born old and then just got really, really old. You know, no, they were born young and all that, and then they just gradually, and then, yeah. And by the birth of one's son, one can understand the condition of one's own birth. A person who thus realistically understands the creation and destruction of material bodies is no longer subject to these dualities. Right? You just function with what's there, but you're not controlled by them. One who observes the birth of a tree from its seed and the ultimate death of the tree after maturity certainly remains a distinct observer separate from the tree. In the same way, the witness of the birth and death of the material body remains separate from it. Right? So just as we can see that these things, that means we're separate from it. An unintelligent man, failing to distinguish himself from material nature, thinks nature to be real. By contact with it, he becomes completely bewildered and enters into the cycle of material existence. Made to wander because of his fruit of work, the conditioned soul, by contact with a mode of goodness, takes birth among the sages or demigods. By contact with the mode of passion, he becomes a demon or human being. And by association with the mode of ignorance, he takes birth as a ghost or in the animal kingdom. Just as one may imitate persons whom one sees dancing and singing, similarly the soul, although never the doer of material activities, becomes captivated by material intelligence and is thus forced to imitate its qualities. The soul's material life, right, so because he's there in the body, he is identifying with it, so as things happen to the body, he just go along with it. You know, people are doing things, you just do those, so the body is doing things by the modes, you just go along with it. Yes?
All right, so how can we understand that Srila Prabhupada comments that soul is dormant and all these material activities have nothing to do with the soul, mm-hmm. but at the same time, he's, you know, somehow affected.
Because of desire. Because he wants to be. That's why he is. Does that make sense? Doesn't make sense. Means the soul thinks that they'll be happy by the identification with and the activities of the material situation. Mm-hmm. So then he becomes involved. But actually, you see, he's like these great personalities. They're not involved. They can just observe. The modes of nature will take care of the body. Does that make sense? It's from the material nature. Material nature will take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, the living entity simply has to become conscious of Krishna. That's the actual point. Then they transfer from this. And then, then they're fully aware of the Lord. They're fully absorbed in the Lord. They're not actually controlled by these modes. Not that they can't engage the situations they're in these modes in the Lord's service. That's what it means by the material energy, the liberation, all these things then serve the devotee. Because the devotee is doing service and they're there to be engaged. But if you don't see it in connection to the Lord, then you're controlled by them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. The soul's material life, its experience of sense gratification, is actually false, O descendant of Dasarha. Just like trees' appearance of quivering when the trees are reflected in agitated water, or like the earth's appearance of spinning due to one's spinning eyes around, or like the world of a fantasy or dream. Right? You know, like the tree is there, it's not moving, but the water is there, and the wind blows, and then the water ripples, and then you see the trees moving. The tree's not moving. So the same way is just the living entity, because of his identifying with the external energy, then he experiences the transformations of that material external energy. Though he's not that external energy. The BBT purport states, the conditioned soul in material life does not perform any activities, but rather the material body, with the consent of the illusion living entity, is being moved by the modes of nature. One imposes this external movement upon oneself, considering oneself to be dancing, singing, running, dying, conquering, and so on. Although these are merely interactions of the external body with the modes of nature. The modes of nature is going through this. The soul's not. The soul doesn't die.
Yeah.
Right? The prana that's there, you know, what comes with the living entity, then that prana leaving the body, then the body ceases to function as a living organism. So we'll say death. But it has nothing to do with the soul. The soul's still alive. The soul's eternal.
Yes.
Right? They just get transferred to a new situation. So,
yes. Yeah. So the soul is not having any activity like singing and things like that?
No, it's just, how you say, consent. It wants to be involved in that, so it happens. Okay.
This is why that sufferings is so conducive to spiritual advancement in a way, because we don't become so attached.
Yes, but it's because we're attached to the activities. Then when they don't go well, then we may start to become detached.
Mm-hmm.
Right, 'cause the nature is something that you find favorable, you become attached to something you find unfavorable, you become detached.
Mm.
So now if the desire is so strong, you don't notice the unfavorable situation. But with time, you know, then you start to notice. But then, what's the alternative? Then they think they come up with some other material plan. So it's only with devotional service, then we see that these activities then are not connected with the soul. Right? So then being detached, it doesn't mean that now you don't use them in Krishna service. The point is it's the engagement in Krishna service that's favorable. Yeah.
Now, about the soul thinking.
Oh, yeah. So, let us take a... you have the adult, and we'll take that infant. Right? The infant can't walk.
Yes.
You know? So you're carrying them.
Yes.
Now, they want to, you know, they want to move around.
Yes.
Are they moving?
No.
The adult is.
Yes.
So they want to look out the window, or they want to look at the pictures, or, you know, they want to see someone else doing something, or... So accordingly, you know, you figure out. So you move them around. You're carrying them and all that.
Yes.
So they're experiencing, but are they doing this? No. So it's the same way. The modes of nature carry the body around. You want to walk, then the modes of nature do it. We don't do it. Like that. Because it happens with our desire, we think we're doing it. Right? So just like the child will think it's getting all this stuff to happen. Right?
Prabhupada was a morning walk and he saw one small child wanting to post a letter, but that was too high. The father picked her and then could post. Then
yeah.
Prabhupada had tears and he said that the child could not do the father held it.
Yeah.
And the Lord helps the living entity.
Yeah. The Lord helps the living entity. That's the actual application.
Yeah.
The other is just to remove the negative, because we consider it a positive, then you have to see it in the negative. So we see the actual positive, which is the relationship between the soul and the Lord.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. And if not now, it is with the guna.
Yes. Materials with the gunas and the transcendentals with the internal potency. So one's Mahamaya, one's Yogamaya. Sri Krishna continued, for one who is meditating on sense gratification, material life, although lacking factual existence, does not go away, just as the unpleasant experiences of a dream do not. Footnote 28. While contemplating the objects of the senses, a person develops attachment for them, and from such attachment lust develops, and from lust anger arises, from anger complete delusion arises, and from delusion bewilderment of memory. When memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost, and when intelligence is lost, one falls down again into the material pool. So it just keeps going, because they're bewildered by whatever they're seeing materially, so they just stay in material existence. Bhagavad Gita 2:62-63. Verses 57-61, the transcendental platform. Right, so he's described the material, now the transcendental. Therefore, O Sri Krishna continued, therefore, O Uddhava, do not try to enjoy sense gratification with the material senses. See how illusion based on material dualities prevents one from realizing the self. Srila Vishnanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, though bondage and samskara is based on illusion, the suffering it produces does not go away. Though things related to imposition by false identity have no factual existence, the suffering arising from relationship with samskara does not disappear. It does not disappear for a jiva who meditates on some object with intelligence directed at enjoying, since meditating on objects with an aim of enjoying them is the cause of samsara. Right? So you don't get out of samsara, because you're meditating upon the elements within the samsara. And so it produces more samsara. So that's why when you stop seeing things in relationship to sense gratification, then that cycle is not produced. Then you're dealing on the spiritual platform. Okay? So
no karma. No karma.
Yeah, there's no karma. So you see, it just mechanically, it just functions that way. You do Krishna conscious things, then there's no samsara. You do meditate on the material, then you get material results.
This meditation is the desires. Desiring sense gratification.
Well, you meditate on something you're not, that you don't have a desire about. Right? It does not disappear for a jiva who meditates. get the bees also. It's one of those days. Everything comes out and we get tangled up in it. Okay, so by the time we figure out where we are, the lights come back. Okay.
Sometimes it will be difficult. It's very strange for the animal, for example, when it is up and down with light and dark like that.
But then they just go. It's dark, so they go to sleep. And it's like you see with the eclipse, where you have a full eclipse.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It gets dark. All the birds go to the trees. They all go to sleep. And then when it comes out, then they all wake up like it's morning. So it's just a really short night. Yeah, they just go with what's happening right now. You know? Yeah. Because of ignorance, they don't notice. So the same way, we're adjusting. We're thinking, oh, they're so ignorant. But we're also doing the same thing. Just we may be a little bit more conscious.
Yeah.
You know, we'll make these longer plans and this and that, while the animals don't. You know, unless certain plans are part of their nature, but then only that much they do. Yeah. Yeah. But otherwise, they just go, and when things adjust, then they go with that.
Simple.
Since meditating on objects with the aim of enjoying them is a cause of samsara, you should reject such meditation. See that ignorance which arises from false identification with the body, which produces non-attachment or ignorance of the jiva. Which produces non-attainment or ignorance of the jiva. So this false identification means they don't get out of the material world. They don't come to their natural position. Sri Krishna continued, even though neglected, insulted, ridiculed, or envied by bad men, or even though repeatedly agitated by being beaten up, tied up, or deprived of one's occupation, spat upon or polluted with urine by ignorant people, one who desires the highest goal in life should, in spite of all these difficulties, use his intelligence to keep himself safe on the spiritual platform. Right? So just seeing that safety on the spiritual platform, that's what has to be seen.
Yes.
You know, so if it means by not being there, you know, so you can chant your rounds, then you leave there. But the point is that it's the absorption in Krishna, that's the real thing to be maintained. Right? So then we see is that the living entity, they're illusioned by material energy and stay within samsara. While the devotees, in the same situation, then they remain unaffected because they're always absorbed in Krishna. So it doesn't matter what's going on around them, they still always absorb themselves in Krishna. That's the thing to see. Right? Sri Uddhava said, O best of all speakers, please explain to me how I may properly understand this. O soul of the universe, the conditioning of one's personality in material life is very strong, and therefore it is very difficult even for learned men to tolerate the offenses committed against them by ignorant people. Only your devotees who are fixed in your loving service and who have achieved peace by residing at your lotus feet are able to tolerate such offenses. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, even learned persons, Vidusham, who know the method of tolerating offenses by others, have a strong nature of intolerance. Prakriti, Valiyasi. Only your devotees who have attained qualities like you, and thus do not show intolerance or anger, and are peaceful because of residing at your lotus feet, are devoid of intolerance, right? Because they don't have material desire. So then, what's going on with all these offenses committed by ignorant people? It's transformations of the material energy. You have no desire in that. What's to be annoyed about? Does that make sense? Yeah. Therefore, then they are able to tolerate these things. While for the materialist, it's getting in the way of them fulfilling their material desires. Therefore, then, it's a problem. And so then they'll get angry. So even these great learned persons, because then their position and all that, right? They've studied so hard, they're learned, they expect some respect for that. And people don't respect them, then they'll get upset. Right. Conclusion. Illusion based on material dualities prevents one from realizing the self. Because all material elements are present everywhere, it is reasonable that different learned Brahmins have analyzed them in different ways. All of their proposals are reasonable, since they are all presented with ample logic. Indeed, such philosophical brilliance is expected of the truly learned. On the other hand, when they argue, it is simply Krishna's own insurmountable energies that are motivating their analytic disagreements. But for those who have fixed their intelligence on the Lord and controlled their senses, differences of perception disappear, and consequently the very cause for argument is removed. Because there will be a difference on the material platform. You don't see things materially, the problem is removed. It doesn't exist. Even though the Purusha and Prakriti appear non-different to superficial vision, there is an ultimate difference between the two. Material creation is produced from the modes of Prakriti, and its quality is transformation. In contrast, the soul is immovable and eternally the same. Because you see the material body, you take that as the living entity. Right? Or the living entity is functioning through the material body. So they look like they're the same, but actually they're not. Right? One is unchanging and eternal, and the other is always transforming. Mm-hmm. The material mind of men is shaped by the reactions of fruit of work. Along with the five senses, it travels from one material body to another. Right? Means the soul. The spirit soul, although different from this mind, follows it. Right? Because you want to enjoy materially, so then you have to follow that, because that's where your identity and everything's coming from. The mind controls the senses, so you'll go with it. Right? Yeah. The mind, bound to the reactions of fruit of work, always meditates on the objects of the senses, both those that are seen in this world and those that are heard about from Vedic authority. Consequently, the mind appears to come into being and to suffer annihilation along with its objects of perception, and thus its ability to distinguish past and future is lost. When the living entity passes from the present body to the next body, which is created by his own karma, he becomes absorbed in the pleasurable and painful sensations of the new body and completely forgets the experience of the previous body. This total forgetfulness of one's previous material identity, which comes about for one reason or another, is called death. Right? The total forgetfulness. You might forget at a moment, you know, but total forgetfulness is death, because that's when you just leave that and then just absorb yourself in the next one. What is called birth is simply a person's total identification with a new body. One accepts the new body just as one completely accepts the experience of a dream or a fantasy as reality. Because the mind, which is the resting place of the senses, has created the identification with a new body, the threefold material variety of high, middle, and low class appears as if present within the reality of the soul. Thus, the self creates external and internal duality, just as a man might give birth to a bad son.
Can we say that this confusion is just to shake up the living entities if they had not understood before?
Yes. Otherwise, they just go on taking it that the present, you know, experience is the actual reality for the soul.
Yes.
When it's not, it's an experience that the soul is going through because of the identification, but it's not the eternal reality. You know, the service to the Lord. That's the actual reality. So chapter 23, the song of the Avanti Brahmana, Pratigya. By fixing intelligence on the Lord,
alone.
Instead of one. By fixing intelligence on the Lord alone, you should completely control the mind. This is the essence of the science of yoga. Right, so it's just about the Lord. Because right? We're so convinced about so many other things and how important they are. Because just like this, we say, by fixing intelligence on the Lord alone, you should completely control the mind. This is the essence of science and yoga. Right? And so at this point, you know, we've gone through so much of this that we're okay, like this. But if this comes up earlier, if we see that, you know, some chapters back, then we'll go, yes, but you know, you have to also take care of, you know, all the natural things that are going on. How do you absorb yourself unless, you know, you're maintaining and all this, and you know what I'm saying? We'll bring those things up. So then this has come, that is the essence of yoga. And so therefore, then all these other things, they have to be seen in this context. How is it helping me absorb myself in the Lord? Right? That has to be seen. And if that's seen and that's happening, then we're good. And if it's not happening, then less good.
Hmm? Working. Need to work.
Need to work, yeah. We need to progress towards a work in progress. Right?
Yes.
Adhyaya Prakashika. The 23rd chapter, in the form of a song, describes how one's money is stolen by wicked people. One is scolded, and one's sorrow is removed by proper discrimination. Sardartha Darshini 11:23-1. The harsh words of uncouth persons pierce the heart even more severely than arrows. Yet, a mendicant brahmana from the city of Avanti, even while being attacked by wicked men, considered this trouble to be simply the consequence of his own past deeds, and tolerated it with utmost sobriety. Previously, the brahman had been an agriculturalist and merchant. He had been extremely greedy, miserly, and prone to anger. As a result, his wife, sons, daughters, relatives, and servants were all deprived of every kind of enjoyment and gradually came to behave unaffectionately towards him. In due course of time, thieves, family members, and providence took away the sum total of his wealth. Finding himself without any property and abandoned by everyone, the Brahmin developed a deep sense of renunciation. You know, so then someone could say, as well, you know, how we run our families and communities is actually based on, you know, coming to this topmost platform of self-realization. So we don't have to develop communities, because otherwise then you'll miss out on this great fortune. No? Yes.
We've seen some devotees renounce their family and took, you know, higher order of life. But it's not necessarily working for everybody.
No, it's the point, because what it was we saw from the previous chapter is whatever situation, means two back, that whatever situation that you find you're able to favorably be absorbed in Krishna, that's what it means. Fixing intelligence on Krishna alone, you should completely control the mind. This is the essence of the science of yoga. So what situation for our position that we're in at the moment will be the best, right, for that progress? But we have to actually look at it maturely, right? This idea of, means we either look at attachment with attachment, or we avoid looking at attachment because detachment's better. But the point is, you have to be able to see what are the attachments and then apply them in a way that's progressive towards Krishna consciousness. So it takes the maturity. So this, it's due to lack of maturity that we either won't address the attachments or we just reject them all and don't even deal with them. Right? So maturity is that attachment's there, you deal with it properly. If attachment's not there, why get involved? Right? Yeah. So it's very individual what will work for who. But the principle of how it functions, that has to be described for everyone. Because then one takes on that attitude to progress. Because if we just take we don't hear about these things, we won't endeavor for them. You know, like Maharaj Prachinabarhishat, he never heard about spiritual. So he didn't endeavor for it. So when Narad Muni came, then, you know, he saw that there was another path other than karma. Otherwise, he didn't know. So that's why you have to hear. Right? So it's true, and so then we situate ourselves wherever we are. Because it may be hearing that the attachments, meditating on them as sense gratification, is going to distract you from the spiritual life, then you have to figure out, okay, in my position of the engagement of the senses, how much of that is actually, you know, how you say, recommended by Shastra? And then, of those, how many do I actually need? Right? And so then I try to properly engage them. But if I just, whatever comes up in the mind, I run with it, then what's the point? Just like it says, you see people dancing, so then you imitate that and get up and dance. But do you need to get up and dance? You know, so that's the whole point. It may be, it's not required for you. Everybody else is doing it, so what? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's just a matter of where you fit in. Just like, let's say, you have a group of friends. They're going to go out on the town. Okay? But now one of them is the designated driver. That means he doesn't drink. Right? So, generally we interpret, we have to fit in by everybody's drinking, we drink. But why can't we fit in as the designated driver? Because they're part of the scene. So therefore, we fit in as the spiritualists in the community. Because human community requires those who are dedicated to spiritual life. So why can't we be that? That's also part. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So this whole idea of we have to fit in, so we have to just do what everyone else does, that's just belying material desire. It's not an actual principle. Because who wants to fit in with a common person anyway? Anyway, anyone who's a little more intelligent or has some skill does not want to fit in with everybody. You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't make sense. All it is they have material desire. Then they'll say everybody else is doing, so I'm just doing what they do. But, you know, that's, yeah. Somebody says, and then if someone says, no, you should do it, oh, that's fanatic, trying to put them in a generalized category. But we ourselves are trying to fit into a generalized category. So it doesn't make sense. We're just doing what everybody else is doing. We're just being practical. Well, everybody's got to have a job. Yeah, but who said that you have to have a job? Who said that to maintain yourself, you need money? To get money, that will be given to you by a job. Who's made that rule? Because otherwise, it would be that in one country, but not in another, or one village and not in another. But it's universal. So that means it's God's rule. So why are you looking to the karmis for that rule? We're doing our occupations to please Krishna. The karmis are doing their occupations to please themselves. So why do we have to be involved? So... Does that work? Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Well, when you speak about maturity, can we say there is a relation between maturity and consciousness?
Maturity and consciousness. Yes. It means it can be. It means you can have consciousness that's not mature. So technically speaking, until we understand the nature of Krishna consciousness, one doesn't actually mature. But at least then it's given for the social state. When it means the next one down then is knowledge. Yes. So someone who has knowledge, therefore if it's about Krishna, then that's the best position of knowledge. So that's called Vaishnava. Someone who has knowledge but not, you know, knowledge of the soul, knowledge of the, you know, the creation, but not knowledge of Krishna, then that's respected because of that knowledge. Right? Does that make sense? So the maturity, actual maturity is when one sees beyond the material. At least minimum, one sees the soul and the workings of the world. But if one doesn't, one is simply seeing the Dharma, Artha, and Kama aspects. That's considered immature, even if you're very, very excellent at it. You know, you may be very good. It's just like children in the class. Are there not children who excel in the studies and those who lag behind? But they're still children. So the same way, just because someone excels in Dharma, Artha, or Kama doesn't mean that it is mature. They're just more expert kids. So until one takes up the transcendental understanding, only at that point do we see that now there's some maturity.
Yes.
But of them, the most mature is the devotee.
Yes. We can say, for example, in Vedanta Sutra, we say Jesus has different ideas about the
yes.
So they are mature.
Yes, they'll be mature to some degree. Some of them aren't, you know.
Yes, but they are not fully mature as
no,
a Vaishnava.
No, it's only the Vaishnavas.
Yes.
But generally speaking, for us, we'll take it if you don't know Krishna consciousness, that's not mature.
Yes.
We'll respect the knowledge, but just like we'll respect someone's influence or money or
yes.
or family relations
yes.
or age or
yes.
skills,
yes.
That's just etiquette. So that's going to be done anyway. So then that would mean that actual maturity is knowing how the soul is a servant of Krishna. And as you see, as that is understood, then you mature in devotional service.
Yes.
Because this other knowledge won't mature in devotional service. You may be mature compared to the materialist,
because yes.
you're a spiritualist, but actually to mature in spiritual life, it's only through devotion. The knowledge can't mature you through that. It can bring you up to the point of liberation. It can't take you beyond.
Yes.
Right? And liberation being the neutral point, it's not actually the positive position
yes.
for the soul. Yes. So you can't take that as a goal or an end.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Thank you,
Maharaj. The first meeting of Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur and Prabhupada, this point was brought out that only thing is lacking is Krishna consciousness.
Yes, yes.
So there, what is the meaning of Krishna consciousness that Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur is telling there? Complete?
He's here. By fixing intelligence on the Lord only, you should completely control the mind. This is the essence of the science of yoga. Okay? Good?
Simple. Simple.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, that's the nice thing here. Krishna very succinctly gives all the definitions. Okay, finding himself without any property and abandoned by everyone, the Brahmana developed a deep sense of renunciation. He considered how the earning and preservation of wealth involved great effort, fear, anxiety, and confusion. Because of wealth, there arise 15 unwanted items. Thievery, violence, lying, deception, lust, anger, pride, feverishness, disagreement, hatred, distrust, conflict, attachment to women, gambling, and intoxication. When this meditation arose in his heart, the Brahmin could understand that the Supreme Lord, Sri Hari, had somehow become satisfied with him. He felt that only because the Lord was pleased with him had the apparently unfavorable turn of events in his life occurred. He was grateful that a sense of detachment had risen in his heart, right? Because otherwise, you could get that and just have resentment, right? But he got detachment. So he's seeing that's by the Lord's grace. And considered it, he was grateful that a sense of detachment had arisen in his heart and considered it the factual means of delivering his soul. In this condition, he determined to engage the duration of his life in the worship of Lord Hari and thus accepted the mendicant order of Tridandi Sannyas. Subsequently, he would enter different villages to beg charity, but the people would harass and disturb him. But he simply tolerated all this. Remaining firm as a mountain, he remained fixed in his chosen spiritual practice and sang a song renowned as the Bhikshu Gita. Neither moral persons, the demigods, the soul, the ruling planets, the reactions of work, nor time are the causes of one's happiness and distress. Rather, the mind alone is their cause, because it is the mind that makes the spirit soul wander in the cycle of material life. The real purpose of all charity, religiosity, and so forth is to bring the mind under control, right? Because you want money, so you start giving in charity. You know, you want to eat, so you serve prasad. You do all these things. These are just to bring the mind in control, right? So it can be engaged in the Lord's service. But once you're engaged in the Lord's service, then you can do any service. You could eat, you could serve, you could expend money, you could make money, you could give it in charity. You know, all these things. Because it's all connected to Krishna. A person who has already composed his mind in meditation has no need for these other processes. And for a person who is incapable of fixing his mind, they are of no practical use. Yes. So, you know, like before we were saying, is that someone has gone beyond, they have knowledge, so their karma is, they're not qualified for karma. You know too much. Right? And so then you work in there. And then once you come to devotional service, you're not qualified for gyan. It's just bhakti is the qualification. So someone who's come to compose his mind in meditation already understands these things through meditation. Then there's no need for any other process than this. Right? It does. You don't need an yes.
So can we say for the devotees to get back into karma and jnana is a serious step down?
Actually? Yes. Yes. So that's why when it, just like. You know, you're dealing with pure devotional service, and that's the goal, you know, following Prabhupada's instructions, preaching, doing this and that. But because of the background of lack of training and qualification as far as culture goes, then they may be performing these activities not necessarily in the, you know, the most refined way. Right? So now you need to, so then the it is seen that, well, devotees are supposed to, you know, be refined. We should add some refinement. But in adding the refinement, instead of increasing the Krishna consciousness and understanding these finer principles of how all living entities are coming from Krishna, everything's in Krishna, as Krishna recommended at the beginning of this whole process, then... then it's taken that, no, this, you know, this moral principles and these kind of things, this will actually make things, you know, the mundane truth, morality, you know, these things, that's going to improve Krishna consciousness, because then the non-devotees then will appreciate the, you know, moral character of the devotees and then be, you know, how you say, impressed, you know, just like with... Francis of Assisi, you know, a few hundred years later, now people are impressed, you know, like that. So then they go about introducing these things into Krishna consciousness, but not in connection with Krishna. It'll be said it is, but it's basing on the Shastra that the devotee has these good qualities, then they're going after the qualities separately than devotional service. Because in devotional service, you have to apply these good qualities. But we try applying them outside, and so they don't give necessarily a good result. And so then you'll see things that before joining, so many devotees are involved in New Age stuff. That's what they do. And then you take up Krishna consciousness, you have Krishna consciousness. What do you need that? And the Vedic culture has, you know, better stuff. The Vedic astrology, this and that. What do you need? Tarot cards, this, that, for, right? And so then you go on like that. But then when introducing these mundane morality, it's not being introduced from the Veda. So it's not that they're studying Chanakya Niti. That's morality. Right? They're not discussing these things. You know, they're not discussing the Dharma Shastra. We're discussing how, you know, family relations and all that. But we're not studying the Dharma Shastra. Does that make sense? So we're talking about economic development. We're not discussing Artha Shastra. You know, we talk about, well, we have to engage the senses and that we have to be practical. They're not studying Kama Shastra. You know what I'm saying? It's all just whatever was their Purva Samskara, their previous life, they're just reintroducing that. As if that was the, you know, pinnacle of good character and culture. That's why you joined, because you had that character. You were surrounded by people like that and you were sick of it. You joined Krishna consciousness. So why would we reintroduce, you know, something that, you know what I'm saying? And so now, you know, in the 90s, then you get the political correctness and the, you know, New Age thing starts to come in and all this and that. And, you know, I say, you know, riding on the waves of the Sugar Blues, you know, which came out in the 80s. So 10 years later, you know, okay, whatever, you know. And so then, you know, it goes on and this, and then we just add more. Now we're adding in, you know, the corporate managerial systems as if they're government. You know, like that, and you know, all these different things, and that all these things are now going to make, you know, Krishna consciousness fabulous. You know what I'm saying? So that's a problem. So like you said, yes, it's a step down. Like Prabhupada made the point that if you're into these esoteric things before being a devotee, then that's a good thing. It means it sets you apart from the other just ordinary karmis. You're still a karmi, but, you know, you're interested in something a little bit higher. Like that. So then that's good. But then having become a devotee, now you get interested. It's a step down. Because all these things originate in the Vedas. All it is that when you have somebody with these things that they're hazy in their memory from previous lives, try to apply them without the Vedic culture, you end up with all this modern mumbo jumbo. But the origin of that is actually in the Veda. It's not separate from that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, whatever the position, it doesn't matter. Just take that and you try to connect that to Krishna with it, with being, you know, how you say, honest about its position. And so you have to take it and see it in connection with Krishna, even though the position itself is not so good, but connecting it to Krishna will get purified. Then as it gets purified, then as one is able to give up that attachment, you do, but at the speed you can. But you're willing for the detachment, so you may try. You know, get in that 5 minutes of detachment. You know, before going back to...
Come back.
You know what I'm saying? You know, get up there, you know, chant your rounds, and, you know, going to get, you know, okay, get 2 rounds done before I, you know, check my phone for any messages. You know, so, you know, it's that, you know, and then after a while, you know, then it's, you know, 4 rounds, you know, and then, you know, and then, you have, you know, those fanatic souls who actually chant all 16 rounds without looking at their phone, like that, you know, a rare species, but, you know, existing,
not
nonetheless.
Taking breakfast before 16 rounds.
Yeah, no, I said we shouldn't get fanatic here. Because you have to be regulated also. But the point is if they are regulated and then something there and they spaced out, then yeah, that. But if it's just something came up, some service, and then they don't eat, then it's going to throw everything off. So you have to see. So it can be a very good point. But it's not that, you know, you didn't finish your rounds and you're eating breakfast, so this is Maya. But who made that rule up? Yeah, so therefore, if it works for you, great, but don't try to impose it on everybody else. Right? So the whole point is Krishna's saying, you have to be Krishna conscious. That exclusive focus on Krishna is what you want. So whatever is going to be favorable to bring that about, that's what you do. And if that's the foremost point, you know, that's the essence of yoga, that you understand, then you'll be looking at, I have these attachments, engage them connected to Krishna. However, even if so lightly or very thinly connected, at least, but it's connected. And then with time, that connection will get stronger and stronger until if it's something of standard that would be the normal lifestyle of a devotee, then you'll continue it, but now without the attachment. And if it's something that's not important, you know, like hoarding money and so that your family members, you know, suffer because they don't get proper food or clothes, that's not important. Right? So then you take care of the family. Does that make sense?
Mm.
Yeah. So it's just a matter of seeing what's working. Like he gave all those, what do you call it? All those, was it 15?
15
yeah. Unfavorable things come up. None of those are important. None of those are necessary. But they come up on their own.
Yeah.
Right? Material life just means that comes up. If you have nothing, are there any thieves?
No.
No, but as soon as you have something, that's the first point. Thieves.
Yeah.
Right? You know, all these, yeah. So it's just the way it works.
In engaging attachments, like, initially, we are more Krishna conscious and trying to engage, but after the results come, usually it happens, we, again, the, like, pride comes up or...
Yeah, but that's why... Have we heard that pride is not good? Okay. Have you been to any temple where, as part of the morning program, at some point, they chant through the Sikshastika, both Sanskrit and English? Right? And have you heard the part about, you know, being more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree? Now we're hearing about that position now. And then the next verse, na danam, na janam, na sutam. Have we heard or not?
Yes.
Right, so we're hearing these things that we have to focus and try to apply. Not that, oh, that's a situation that I could do when I was a new bhakta. I'm more advanced. Now I need a situation that's beyond that. No, that's the whole point. Since the process descends, you're given the essence first. it should never go away. Then, according to your position, how you engage yourself in Krishna service, then you can expand details. But if you give up the essence, then what's the point? We're focused on materialism, then we focus on direct Krishna consciousness, then we focus back on materialism. How is that a benefit? You know what I'm saying? And because of our material situation is more sophisticated, we think that that's going to be our position. But it's not. You know, that's how it goes.
To constantly right? Checking the
hence distance. The Punarmusika Baba. Right? In the society, you're a big man. But if you leave the society, then you're whatever you were before. It's not that, you know, you're the big man, you weren't a big man before, now you're a big man, when you leave the society, you remain a big man. No, you won't. You'll just go right back to wherever you were. That's how the karma works. You want to work in samsara, you have to work in what's your samsara. Can't work in someone else's. But if you're working in Krishna consciousness, then Krishna arranges. And then if you step out, then now it goes back to Maya. Yeah, she's, you know, like I said, there's that old picture. You don't see it now. I think it's politically incorrect or something. Where you had this set of stairs. You know, it's going up to Krishna. And you had all these, you know, good qualities and bad ones coming down.
Yeah.
And you see Maya down at the bottom, right? You know, with her hands out, you know, hey, come, we're here. You know, the devotee is going up to Krishna and the materialist is running towards Maya, right? Like that. So, you know, it's just the way it works. Rather, the mind alone is their cause. Because it's the mind that makes the spirit soul wander in the cycle of life, of material life. So if the mind's connected to Krishna, you get out. The mind's connected to Maya, you stay in. Okay. Person who has already composed his mind in meditation has no need for these other processes, right? Charity, religiosity, and so forth. And for a person who is incapable of fixing his mind, they are of no practical use. Though one's supposed to follow them, but you don't get the benefit, really, because you're not able to. The false conception of material ego binds the transcendental soul to material sense objects. The Avanti Brahman therefore became determined to bring himself over the insurmountable ocean of material existence by rendering service to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, Mukunda, with the same perfect faith in the Lord exhibited by the great devotees of the past. Only when one can focus his intelligence on the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead can the mind be completely subdued. This is the essence of all practical prescriptions for spiritual advancement. So that's how you judge. Will this help your mind become more fixed in Krishna?
Yes.
And so if it's not happening, but it'll give you a moment, then you follow that.
Yes.
And that moment will become two moments, will become, you know, more.
Yes.
Right? You see in the Vedic thing, when it goes together, it goes together. You know, you get two, you know, single atom, then two atoms go together. Then two atoms go together in groups of three. Right? And then it goes from there. So it builds up quickly. But you got to get the first moment going, right? You know, that's necessary.
And we need to appreciate that moment.
Yes.
Be aware. You can, you know.
But the more we're aware, the more benefits.
Yes.
The less we're aware, the less benefits.
Right.
So is this an indication we're not supposed to go on or something?
Maybe.
Maybe it's a trick of mind.
Yeah, oh, I see. To not hear the song of the Avanti Pur Brahman. I see. Otherwise, we might all become Paramahamsas. Huh? Shloka Anusharanam. Summary of verses. Verses 1 to 41. The story of the Avanti Brahmana. Verses 42 to 61. The Bhikshu Gita. Verses 1 to 41. The story of the Avanti Brahmana. Sukadeva Goswami said, Lord Mukunda, the chief of the Dasarhas, having thus been respectfully requested by the best of his devotees, Sri Uddhava, first acknowledged the fitness of his servant's statements. Then the Lord, whose glorious exploits are most worthy of being heard, began to reply to him. Lord Sri Krishna said, O disciple of Brihaspati, There's virtually no saintly man in this world capable of resettling his own mind after it has become disturbed by the insulting words of uncivilized men. Sharp arrows, right? So virtually no saintly man, right? So devotees, but even up to the saintly persons, right? Sharp arrows which pierce one's chest and reach the heart do not cause as much suffering as the arrows of harsh, insulting words that become lodged within the heart when spoken by uncivilized men. That's why it's common in Gita that one should not, even you should never speak words to bother somebody. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, it's just like you've had some discussion or some disagreement and all that, and it's just, now it's that, left at that. It's either been resolved or it's not resolved. But then in walking away from the conversation, you have to say something that will, you know, stab them in the heart. Right? So that's the whole point. These things aren't important.
Better to say Hare Krishna.
Yes, so you better say Hare Krishna. In this, my dear Uddhava, in this regard, a most pious story is told, and I shall now describe it to you. Please listen with careful attention. On that note, we'll stop. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jainatai Gaurupinoda ki.